is one that you'll see prominently when he's not in Eretz Yisrael or when he's not by one of his children. He's here in the Beis Medrash. If he was here today, I don't want to speak for him. If I brought you over, he would spend time with each and every single one of you until he finished with each 60 students that's here and give you each the individual attention, because that's the type of person that he is. And perhaps the person that gets to have a long-standing chavrusa with him, maybe has home court advantage, is his son, who is now a rav in the five towns and a gadol in his own right. And even during this busy time, like I said, for a rabbi for Pesach with Mosfitim and with son Chametz, he was kind enough to schlep back to Washington Heights from the five towns, which, as you see today, New York traffic is not always as cooperative as we'd like it to be, to share some words of Torah with you. So it's a privilege to give the floor to Shai Schechter, and we promise there's pizza and sugar and everything coming, and we're going to get you moving soon.
Okay, so good morning, good afternoon to all of you. It is really such a pleasure to be back with the students of EULA. I have visited your school many times. And Rabbi Schreiber, thank you. Just to see your face again, and all of the staff who is here together with you, it's just a bracha. Halavai, we would just have some of your weather. But without that, at least we have you. So we thank you all for coming. And I'm happy to learn a little bit together with you this morning. I really don't want to keep you for too long. I know that your schedule has been delayed. But let's just try to think about something that maybe we can all consider as we go into the holiday of Pesach. We know that we're only 1 week away. Not so much more time to prepare, but what should we be thinking about? Pesach can really take us in so many different directions. Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can be thinking about the four cups of wine. We can be thinking about going to Israel, which is really the crescendo of everything that coming out of Egypt was all about. We can be thinking about so many different themes, but perhaps something that we can really think about very personally, something that really should impact all of us, is the following. The Medrash tells us that we have somewhat of a complicated, dynamic relationship with God Himself. And if you look at the Jewish people themselves as they came out of Egypt, as they came out of Mitzrayim and Parshas Beshalach, anybody here out of Bar Mitzvah Parsha Beshalach? Yeah. So what does it say when they came out of Egypt? Were they strong believers? Weak believers?
They were strong believers.
Strong believers, really. What does it say that? Correct. As we are introduced to the Exodus, to them leaving, to Kriyas Yamsef, we are told, Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo. Now, that was a little bit of a trick question, because you are correct that they were very firm believers, but then just a few psukim later, as you know from your parsha, what are we told? Suddenly, things start to go sour. And suddenly, the Jewish people don't know where we're going to get food, and where we're going to get water, and how we're going to survive, and what's going to be. And this was after everything that God had done for them, all the 10 plagues, all the makos, all the miracles, everything they saw, and the splitting of the sea, and now? What do they ask? At the very end of Parshas Beshalach, they ask for food, but what do they say? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin? As you know very well, the question is there a God in the world? How is it possible, asked the Netziv, that the very same people that just experienced all the 10 makos, just walked through the Yamsuf, just saw the most inspiring adventure that any person can ever be a part of, and yet, just a few psukim later, they ask, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin? You ask, is there a God? How can that be? And the Netziv poetically explains that perhaps what it means is not that they asked whether there's a God in the world. We just experience God in the world. We are very well aware of the fact that God does great miracles, that God splits the sea, that God is the one who brought all the terrible things onto the Egyptian people. That was not the question. Look carefully at what the words of the pasuk are. Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu. Is there a God also inside of each and every one of us? We know that God does the big things in the world, but ask the Netziv. What the Jewish people were struggling with at that moment was, does God also pay attention to me? Does God also reside inside of me? Am I supposed to have a personal relationship with Him also that is beyond all of these fantastic experiences that we have all seen as a people? Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu. That is the challenge of going into Pesach. To ask ourselves, are we able to see Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avda, when we see amazing spectacles in the world, when we see great miracles, when we live a great life, when everything's amazing? Of course we know Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avda, we know that God exists. The question then becomes, do we actually believe? Do we live life with this understanding that Yesh Hashem b'Kirbenu, that God actually takes an interest in me, that God is actually invested in my life, that God actually can be comfortable in my home, in my classroom, in everything that I do, You know, just last week, we finished reading about the story of the building of the Mishkan. And Rashi tells us at the very end of the building, when the completion of the Mishkan happened, we are told that Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and offers a prayer. He offers a tefillah. Anybody know what that tefillah was? The tefillah was, I know you're all exhausted, you're on LA time. The tefillah was, Yihi Ratzon, may it be your will, Shatishre Shechina B'masa Yadecha. That the Shechina, that God's heavenly presence should be felt in your handiwork. Now, what was that tefillah all about? What happened was the Jewish people are working so hard to build, to construct this edifice that's going to house the presence of God Himself. At the very end, when all was completed, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God, and he says, I hope that after all the work that we've done, I hope that that will translate into you coming through, God, on your end of the deal, which is you need to now reside in this very holy edifice. You need to be here with us. Now the question that is asked by the Ksav Sofer is, what kind of tefillah, what kind of prayer is that? Don't we know that God said in the very outset, God said from the very beginning of this project, what's the first parsha that we read that describes the building of the Mishkan? What was that? Anybody knows? Nope. Halfway through Sefer Shemos, what is it? Which? Parshas Truma. What is the first instruction we're given in Parshas Truma? Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti v'socham. God instructs us to build this holy edifice. And then he says, I will come through on my promise, v'shachanti v'socham, I will reside in whatever you build. So why does Moshe have to offer a tefillah? A tefillah is when we're not sure that something's going to happen, and we petition God, and we ask Him. What does it mean when we offer a tefillah for something God promised was going to happen? What kind of prayer, what kind of tefillah is that? Seems that some of you know the answer back there. You're discussing the answer. No, you. You're discussing the answer, right? So what did you come up with? So the answer is, perhaps, says the Ksav Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu at this point was not offering a tefillah, he was not offering a prayer that God should come to this Mishkan. But rather, this was a plea. This was a request of the Jewish people themselves. And he was asking them, after you've spent so much time and effort and energy to give all of your dedication to build this Mishkan, Yihi Ratzon, may it be your will, the will of the Jewish people, Shetishra Shechina B'masi Yadechem, that God should be found in your work, not here in the Mishkan, but when you go home, and you're going to go back at work, and you're going to be in your conventional lifestyle doing whatever you do, is God going to be comfortable there as well? Let's ask ourselves. Is God comfortable in everything that we do? Every time I take my cell phone out of my pocket, every time I'm surfing the internet, every time I'm forwarding a text, every time I'm taking a picture of something and sending it to another person, is God comfortable with all of that? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? It's the question that challenged the Jewish people on the occasion when they left Egypt. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Is God able to be found? Not in the Mishkan, not in our school, not in our shul, not in our Beis Medrash. We know that God is there. Is God able to be found b'masa yadecha? When we step out and we go into the world and we try to navigate the complexities and the challenges that all of us face, can God be found there as well? You know, the Gemara tells a fascinating story about Abaye and Rava. We're all familiar with Abaye and Rava. When they were young children, right, they weren't born as Amorai. They were born as young children, and they were just like all of us. And the Gemara says that at a young age, somebody wanted to prove how brilliant and how special and pure they were. So the Gemara says that they posed a question to these two young children. I don't remember who went first, Abaye or Rava, it doesn't really matter. But the Gemara tells us that they pose a question to the two of them, and they say, tell us, where is God to be found? And the first one who responds says, takes his finger, points up to the heavens, and he said, God is there. Beautiful answer. The second one goes outside of the building, and then points up to the heavens, and he said, God is to be found there. Now, of course, the Gemara doesn't just tell us funny stories. There's something that is latent in the message here. What is the story? What are they trying to convey? It's the same thing. Both of them pointed to the heavens and said, God is there. The Reish HaRav answers that perhaps what this is all about is the following. when you sit in yeshiva, when you sit in a beis medrash, when you're sitting in a place where it's so obvious the presence of God, and to point up and say, God is here, that's no chiddush. We all know that. What was being added in the second answer was, you know where God is? When you step out of that building. When you go out into the world, can you still point up everywhere you find yourself and say, God is to be found here as well? And that is our challenge. That is what Pesach gives us the opportunity to think about. Because when we really consider what it is that our tafkid, what it is that our job, I saw a comment a number of years ago in the Sfas Emes. He has a beautiful commentary on Chumash, a little complicated sometimes, but he has an absolutely, how many of you know Rabbi Steinmetz? Rabbi Steinmetz is now the Rosh Kolo in your school. You should get to know him. He's a dear friend of mine. He's a really special person. And he's a great Talmud Chacham. You have so much you can learn from him. Rabbi Steinmetz actually gives a weekly shiur on the Sfas Emes. So if you have any questions on the Sfas Emes, you can ask him. He's an expert. I once saw a comment on the Sfas Emes. You know, tradition has it. We have Midrashim that tell us that as the Jewish people passed through the Yam Suf, as they were going through the river, the ocean, so what are we told? That there were 12 paths. Each one of the Shvatim went through. Each one of the tribes went through on their own path. Why couldn't the Jewish people go through together? God wanted to make an experience where each family, each Shevet, had the opportunity to feel special. And they each went in their own way. And we're told that they were able to see the other tribes, the other Shvatim, through the water. Whatever. Miraculous. Amazing. However, the Sfas Emes points out, there's a pasuk in Tehillim where we say, Ata porarta ba'az chayam. Anyone knows what Piruin means? Anyone ever learn Maseches Pesachim? In the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim, it says we have an obligation to do Bedikas Chametz the night before Pesach. Why? What are you looking for? What do I have to look for when I search for Chametz? Chametz. I have to look for crackers, cookies, Cheerios, things like that. Do I have to look for Piruin? What is Piruin? Crumbs. Do I have to look for crumbs in between the cracks on the floor? The Gemara says, no. So we all search and we all check and we try and we vacuum and we sweep and we mop and we do everything. But the truth is, when you have little crumbs, we're really not so concerned about it because no one's going to eat that. There's no concern there with a tiny little crumb that's been on the floor for 6 months, stuck in the back behind the radiator, or you don't know what that is. But we have such things in New York or other parts of the world. So it's really something that you don't have to be concerned about. Piruin. Now says the Sfas Emes, why when the Navi describes the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the splitting of the sea, why is it referred to as God took the sea and made it into little crumbs? It wasn't crumbs, it was paths. And he suggests the answer is, it was Pirur L'chal Echad Ve'echad Mi'Yisrael. God made an individualized experience of splitting the sea. He took the sea and made it into little crumbs. He took it and made an experience for every single individual on his or her own to pass through and feel that experience. You know what that means? It means that God cared enough about you as an individual to do that. God doesn't just do miracles, but it's because God believes in you. Not he believes in the Jewish people. Not he believes in my Shevet. Not he believes in my family. Not because he loves my parents. Not because he had a great affinity with my grandparents, but because God believes in me. And for that, says the Sfas Emes, God felt it was worthy to do that great miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yam Suf, for each individual on their own to have that experience and to understand how profoundly impactful it could be for everyone. This is what we talk about on Leil HaSeir. Manashtana HaLeil HaZeh is asked, and we have different children asking different kinds of questions. We have the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam and the She'enu Yodei Lishol, but all of them are at the Seder. All of us have a place wherever we find ourselves on the religious spectrum, if we're super involved, if we're not so involved, if we're very committed, if we're not yet so committed, if we are very learned, we're not so learned, all of us sit around the table at the same time. All of us have the opportunity to experience God in our own way and to connect with Him because He cares about us, because He wants to be a part of our lives, and we should feel the same reciprocal understanding. You know, it's very interesting. What was the first engagement that Moshe Rabbeinu has with God? Where was that?
The burning bush.
What is the first instruction that God gives Moshe Rabbeinu?
Take off your shoes.
How interesting. How many years was it since the last time they had any word from God Himself? A long time. Everyone's stuck in Egypt. They see no end to the misery. They don't know what's going to happen. And suddenly God appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. And God says, you know, Moshe, I want you to go save them. You would think he's going to share with him some incredibly inspiring, amazing message. What does he say? Take your shoes off. Really? Is that appropriate to be the first thing that God instructs Moshe Rabbeinu after hundreds of years of no communication at all? What is significant about that instruction of Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha? Explains Rav Meir Shapiro. He was the... How many of you heard of the Daf Yomi? Everybody. How many of you heard of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin? You have? Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was a very iconic yeshiva in Europe right before the Holocaust. The Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin was Rav Meir Shapiro. He was actually a young man who was extremely accomplished. And he also was the founder of the Daf Yomi movement. So he goes down in history as a very significant personality. But Rav Meir Shapiro pointed out, you know what the subliminal message there is? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, the first thing to Moshe Rabbeinu is take your shoes off? You know what he told him? Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha. So often, and especially in high school, in the experience that all of you are in, so often we look at our friends, we look at our peers, we look at our colleagues, we look at other teammates, we look at other people and we say, you know, I wish I had that person's set of circumstances, and I wish I had that person's money, and this person's family, and that person's car, and this guy's looks, and that one's talents, and this one's smarts, and that one's grades, and I wish I had, and I wish I had, and I spend the whole life looking around, running, wishing I could be somewhere else, or somebody else, or a different set of circumstances. Moshe Rabbeinu was told the first moment of his engagement with God, take your shoes off. Stop running to be somewhere else. The first and most important message you need to realize as a person is, Ki hamakom asher ata omed aleha, admas kodeshi. The place where you stand, the situation that God put you in, the circumstances that you have, the family that He gave you, the community that you're growing up in, everything that you have is admas kodesh. That's the holiest and most sacred ground that you will ever stand on, that you will ever walk on. Take advantage of it. Realize the potential. Realize how blessed and how lucky you are. Realize what an opportunity it is to live life in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a God who loves you, with a God who cares about you, with a God who takes an interest in you being able to find a path of Hayesh Hashem Yikirbeinu. Are we going to be able to challenge ourselves this Pesach to find that place inside of ourselves where God can feel most comfortable? Are we going to be able to challenge ourselves to realize that God is not only the one who makes great miracles happen? We've all read and heard about the Six-Day War, and we've heard about the miraculous survival of the State of Israel against all odds, and it makes no sense. And it's the greatest miracle of the Jewish people in this century, and yet, do we realize that God is not only found in those experiences, but God is really Bikir Beinu. God is made to be found inside of all of us. It takes effort. It takes a lifetime of work. But you're at the perfect age to begin that journey. When you come to the Seder, this Pesach, ask yourselves, am I prepared to walk away from this experience and not only say, Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo, but also to say, Yesh Hashem b'Kirbi. There's a God who runs the world, but there's a God who runs my life. There's a God who I want to be more involved in my life. There's a God who I want to feel comfortable in my home, in my classroom, on my cell phone, in my desk, with every conversation that I have and everything I do, every time I surf the internet and all that I'm involved with. That is our challenge. That is our opportunity. And this is our privilege as the chosen people of God Himself, as the Am HaNivra. We say on Yom Tov, Atav Bechartanu Mikol HaAmin. God has chosen us from all the nations. What does it mean to be chosen? It means we have special rights and privileges. It means we're able to evade taxes. It means we don't have to be law-abiding citizens. Is that what it means to have privileges? Of course not. Privilege comes with responsibility. God gave us privileges by being the chosen nation. It comes with plenty of challenges, but it also comes with a tremendous sense of responsibility. Realizing that we have been the chosen nation for the last 3,000 years. There is no other nation in the world that has the history that we have been through and that we are continuing to inscribe in the book of the Jewish people. We are all the next chapter of that history. We are the ones who will make sure and who will ensure to the best of our ability that Jewish history will have a continuity, that Jewish history will be strong, that the Jewish people and the Jewish community will flourish and thrive, and it's in our hands, and it's our commitment to staying closely connected to God and to His Torah, which represents everything that we are all about. That is the opportunity we have to celebrate on Pesach. I thank you all for being here. I thank you all for coming. I wish you all a Chag Kasher v'Sameach and a safe trip back to the West Coast.